We invite you to open up God's Word with me this morning to the book of Matthew. We're in the Gospel of Matthew today, and we won't have treehouse today, no children's worship gathering. So kids, you're invited to stay right here with the rest of us. But maybe one of you kids can help me out in a couple different ways. One, see if you can find what page number in the Pew Bible this text is on, Matthew chapter 7, and I'll come back and ask you that in just a moment. Matthew chapter 7, we need a page number so we can find it. And then perhaps any of you kids, if you want to help us read our text this morning, I'll welcome that. So think about that for just a moment. But before we get there, the last couple songs that we just sung remind me of a song from when I was a kid. And I assume it's still around. Some of you, maybe you've heard it. Maybe some of you adults have heard it. Maybe some of you kids have heard it. I'm not going to sing it, but it sort of goes like this, and there's motions involved with it. The wise man built his house upon the, anybody know? The rock, right? The wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock, and the rains came tumbling down, right? The rains came down and the floods came up. The rains came down and the floods came up. The rains came down and the floods came up, and the house on the rock stood firm. And then it's about the foolish man who built his house upon the sand. Same thing happens. The rains came down, the floods came up, the rains came down, the floods came up, and the house on the sand went splash, or fell flat, right? I think there's multiple different versions of it. It didn't survive, right? Came tumbling down. Well, this morning we're going to talk about building our house upon the rock, building our lives upon the rock, and Christ the solid rock on which we stand. We have a page number? Any kids find that? Finley, you got it? Can you say it? What page number in the Bible? 788. That sounds right. So if you need help finding that passage, you're using a Pew Bible, page 788. Thank you so much. Finley, that's our text this morning, Matthew chapter 7. Anybody want to help read? If not, that's okay. Come on, Houston. Love for you to help read. Come on up here. Yeah, y'all encourage Houston. Jesus. All right. We can get a microphone. How cool is that? All right, you got it? All right, we're going to read verses 24. I'll hold it. You want me to hold it for you? And you just hold your Bible? Verses 24 to 27.
Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash.
Fantastic. Thank you, Houston. Well done. Well done. Let's pause together and pray. Father, we thank you for these words of Christ, our Savior. Lord, guide us now in understanding them, Lord, that we might understand them, believe them, apply them to our lives by your Spirit's guidance. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to dive into that text for just a few moments. And kiddos, and we've got several kids gathered with us this morning. Let me just encourage you, follow along, listen as you're able, even complete that sermon outline that you find there in the bulletin. And if you do, if you'll come show me that outline at the end of our service, I'll even have a little something for you. Maybe that'll help you listen together as we think about this particular passage, these words of Jesus. But we've been walking through this portion of the Bible. You know this, church. We've been looking at the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. And here we come to the last section the last words of Jesus' famous sermon on the Mount. And so here's the conclusion of Christ's message. And it begins it with, therefore. Therefore, it's a call for a response, a call to take seriously all that Jesus has been saying all along about the kingdom of heaven. He's been talking about heaven and those who get to be part of it. Who gets to be part of it? It's those who recognize their dependence on God, the poor in spirit. Right? Remember how the sermon began. Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. It's those who recognize their need for God. It's those who recognize that they need God's help and turn to Him for help. Those who put their faith in Him and then begin living like they have faith in Him. And again, it's not a message of do better and try harder and you might get in. It's not a message of be religious so you can be rewarded. But it is a matter of eternal life, and eternal death. And so as we think about what Jesus is communicating right here in the Word, let's hear the words of Christ. Because eternity is at stake. Jesus is talking about eternal things. He's talking about life and death. So let's hear what He has to say. Let's hear the words of Christ. You know, sometimes I feel like I'm not being heard. I don't know if you ever feel like that. Sometimes I feel like that with my kids at home. Most of the time I know they're listening. They're listening really well. But sometimes I'll say something. And I say, hey guys, it's time to get up and go ready for bed. It's time to go to bed. It's time to, you know, get your shower, brush your teeth, get in bed. And it's like, falls on deaf ears. Nobody hears it. Do you hear what I'm saying? It reminds me of what Chris Tucker said to Jackie Chan in 1998 film Rush Hour. Like, do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth? Do you hear me? You know, sometimes we act as if we don't hear what's being said to us. I mean, that's what's going on here. Like, that's what's happening here with Jesus. It's like the warning to respond is on repeat. Jesus is warning His hearers incessantly through a series of images and admonitions because eternity is at stake. That's what's going on here. We'll look at these briefly, but compounding warning, a call for response. Because we're all going to face death. Like everyone, though we all will face death, the Bible teaches that after death we'll live forever. And what we do now impacts forever. Because we're going to live forever, preparations for forever must be made right now. The imagery that Jesus uses here implies that there's a proper way of doing things, a proper way of building things, and there's sort of a shortcut way of doing things, an alternate way of doing things. I don't know about you, if you've ever taken a shortcut or been tempted to take a shortcut because it's a little faster, maybe driving down the road, but maybe it's just doing something, like a shortcut to a project. And I'm sort of the world's worst about these things. I like home projects. I like to do some DIY stuff, but sometimes I try to do it my own way, and I try to rush through it, and it comes back to bite me later. And so the other day, I noticed that one of our sprinkler heads was leaking. If you've got a sprinkler system, then I'm sure this has happened to you at some point or another. I don't know what happened, but it was along the driveway. I think somebody must have run over it at some point through the winter. It hadn't been turned on, and all of a sudden, checking it out, and it's leaking. And I'm thinking, okay, well, I've seen this done before. I've paid somebody to do this before, and I'm not going back down that road right now. I know how to do this. And so I went out, and I took the world's best garden tool, which is a post-hole digger stick, right? I don't know if that's an official word, but you know what I'm talking about? It's like a tall, really like a 20-pound post stick with a little bitty blade on the end, and it digs ground really well. Like it just digs it right up, rocks and everything. You got to have one of these for your yard. And so I was using this to dig up the dirt around that sprinkler head so that I could change it out. And I began to do that, and I saw where the leak was coming. But as I kept going down, because you got to go down, all of a sudden I remembered that same tool is really good at crushing PVC pipe. Like really good. And so one swing downward, and I hear that sound. That sounds like an egg cracking, and I know I've hit the line, the water supply line that's going to that sprinkler head. And so what could have been about a 20, 30 minute project turned into a 2 or 3 hour project. Shortcut taken. Didn't take proper preparations. Well, here Jesus says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock, who took the necessary steps and preparation to build his life on a foundation that will last. Some Bible scholars will point out that the sand around the Sea of Galilee, which is the region, the area near Capernaum where Jesus is teaching this message, the sand there gets especially hard in the hot summer months, perhaps appearing as an ideal spot to build a home. It's smooth, it's flat, it's hard to the touch. But any experienced builder, any knowledgeable builder knows you better dig down a bit deeper to the bedrock in order to have a firm foundation to sustain your house. And if you do, your house will be prepared for the coming storms. Now, when I got up this morning, it was thundering, it was lightning. I pulled up the weather app and it said 2 to 3 inches of heavy rain expected over the next few hours, strong to severe storms until like 10 or 11 a.m. It's going to pour down rain. It's going to be heavy storms. You better be prepared. And when storms are coming, we want to be prepared. But at least for Meadowbrook, the weatherman missed it. The weather forecast at this point was a little bit off. I know it stormed in places a little bit south of us, I think, but not right here. But Jesus' warning about a coming storm is accurate. He's not going to miss this. And with this analogy, Jesus reminds us that storms are coming and we've got to be prepared when they do. So let's hear the words of Christ and let's heed the warning of Christ. Let's heed his warning, the warning of Christ. This isn't a place, Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 and following, the text that Houston read so well for us a few moments ago. This isn't a place where Jesus provides casual counsel or gentle correction. This is an all-out warning. It's a warning. It's consistent with what he's been saying as his message, as a sermon, comes to a crescendo. It's calling for you and for I and for every listener to heed his warnings about the coming destruction. I mean, once again, let's hear the repetitive warnings of Christ as his sermon comes to a close. Backtrack with me just a few verses. Verse 13, Jesus said, enter through the narrow gate. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. And many enter through it, but small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. And then again, he warns us in verse 19. He says, every tree, here another analogy, an analogy for our lives. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Another warning about coming judgment. Then in verse 21 that we looked at last week, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Third warning. And now, verse 26, but everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. Church, we need to hear and heed the message of Christ, for judgment day is coming. Judgment day is coming. In other words, the danger Jesus speaks of here isn't simply a less than stellar life for those who don't take faith seriously. Many folks read what Jesus is saying here that way, suggesting the storms of his parable are the storms of life. Difficult circumstances through which we must travel. But if our faith is in him, we'll be better equipped to face these things, better equipped to face the storms of cancer or of grief or of depression, of debt. The list could go on. Certainly, while that's true, I don't think those are the storms that Jesus is talking about here. And none of us are immune from those storms, but here Jesus is talking about a far greater storm. A much more dangerous storm. The storm of His pending judgment upon the unrighteous. Upon all who fail to put their faith in Him. On those who remain estranged from God because they've failed to trust in the One who died in their place. So Jesus is saying judgment day is coming. Judgment day. He's just alluded to it in verse 22. Many will say to me on that day. It's language that recalls many warnings in the Bible about the day of the Lord. Judgment day is coming. The NIV we read from fails to capture really the future tense verb in verse 24. Everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice, not necessarily is like, but will be like a wise man. Hinting that this warning is also about preparations for a future day. A day of eschatological judgment. Church, this idea of God's pending judgment being like a storm isn't a new, it's not a new imagery, it's not a new idea. There's history in the scriptures, history in the Old Testament where the coming judgment or the coming wrath of God is depicted in this way. I'll mention just a couple of examples, but there are many of them. First, Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 19. The Bible says, see, the storm of the Lord will burst out in wrath. A whirlwind swirling down on the heads of the wicked. The anger of the Lord will not turn back until He fully accomplishes the purposes of His heart. In days to come, you will understand it clearly, Jeremiah says. Psalm 50, verse 3, another example of this. Our God comes and will not be silent. A fire devours before Him and around Him a tempest rages. Storm rages. He summons the heavens above and the earth that He may judge His people. You see, throughout the scriptures, throughout the Old Testament, the Lord sends numerous warnings concerning His coming judgment. Calling people to prepare for the pending storm of divine judgment against the wicked, against the unrighteous, against those who are not His. That's a taste of the judgment context in which Jesus says, prepare now. Like, prepare right now. Prepare now to face the coming storm of divine judgment by hearing my words and heeding my warning. It's a call to not just hear His message. For merely hearing the gospel won't spare you from the coming storm. Merely hearing the gospel, merely hearing the message of Christ, merely hearing from Christ will not spare anyone from the coming storm. You know, Ashley loves it when I sort of let my alarm just go off in the morning. She loves it when it just keeps going, or when I hit snooze and fall back asleep and it does it again and again. She just really lights her up. And maybe you have a spouse that you can relate to that. But hearing, in fact, here recently, she made me start setting my alarm on my watch because it's much more minimal. It can wake me up without having to wake her and everybody else up early in the morning. But just hearing the alarm go off doesn't get you up. Just hearing it go off doesn't get you up and ready for the day and beginning to do the responsibilities that have been entrusted to you for the day. And likewise, merely hearing the gospel won't spare you from the coming storm of God's pending wrath upon those who are not right with Him. Merely hearing the good news won't spare you from that coming storm. If so, the narrow path wouldn't be so narrow. For there'd be many more folks on it than the few that our Savior suggests. Now, it is true that those who have not heard the gospel, those who do not hear the gospel, cannot respond to the gospel. And so absolutely, we ought to pray for those in places where the gospel is not known. Pray for the people who have not heard the name of Christ, much less know the gospel of Christ. We ought to pray fervently for them, and not only pray fervently for them, but give and go so that they can be reached with the gospel. Because to be sure, faith does come from hearing. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Thus no one will believe in the one of whom they have not heard. Romans 10, 14. But not everyone who hears believes. Romans chapter 10, verse 16. So that's Jesus' warning here. And because we're ones who've heard, because we're folks who've heard about the importance of faith in Jesus Christ as preparation for that future day, because we've heard, friends, his warning is for us. It's for us. And he says, verse 26, but everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who has built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. You see, like a house built on shifting sand, so a soul not surrendered to Jesus. Have you surrendered to Jesus? Is your faith in him? Is your life built upon the solid rock of Jesus Christ? Have you put your faith in Jesus Christ? Faith comes from hearing, and I know you've heard. We've heard. You've heard the message of Christ, the gospel of salvation, but as James warns us, do not merely listen to the word. Don't just hear it. Don't just listen to it. And so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. The ones who hear and believe, the kind of belief that we noted last week, last Sunday, genuine belief that's evidenced by fruit. And we talked about that good fruit. These are the righteous. The writer of Proverbs says, and when the storm has swept by, the wicked are gone, but the righteous stand firm forever. Another portrayal of that's judgment, is pending judgment as a storm. The righteous stand firm forever, forever secure from the coming storm of God's judgment upon the wicked, upon all who don't know the Lord, who have not put their faith in him, receiving the reconciliation that comes by grace alone, through faith alone, in Jesus Christ alone. You see, friends, that there's a path. This is good news. There is a path. There is a way. There is a gate by which sinners enter salvation, by which the wicked become the righteous, by which bad trees become good trees, by which the hurting and the broken and the lost and the lonely become found and healed and whole and secure. And that way is Jesus. That way is Jesus. He is the firm foundation and the solid rock on which to build your life. He is the solid rock on which we can stand right now and forevermore. Here's what I'm saying. Submission to Christ provides the only security from the coming storm. Submission to Christ provides the only security from the coming storm. Jesus is calling for a response. He's calling his listeners, the crowds, to listen and to pay attention and to heed his warning and to submit to him, for a coming storm of judgment is on its way. Submission to Christ provides the only security from that storm. Submission implies faith in Christ, the Savior, and surrender to Christ the King. Faith and surrender. Because he is Savior, yes, he's our Savior, and he's Lord. He's Savior and he's Lord. He's the narrow gate and the divine judge. He's the righteous substitute for unrighteous sinners, the one to whom we look in faith and graciously receive new life. A new life that's characterized by a new heart. A new heart that is alive to God. Friend, is your heart alive to God? Do you have a new heart that is alive to God? Have you surrendered to him? Is your faith in him? Have you trusted in him? Have you bowed before him? Is your life characterized by a surpassing righteousness? Remember that phrase back in the early part of Jesus' sermon, he said in chapter 5, verse 20, I tell you, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you won't enter heaven. That was an outward righteousness. Do you have an inward righteousness, a surpassing righteousness? Not an outward perfection, we're not talking about that, but an inward transformation of allegiance. A stirring to know and to trust and to follow and to obey the Lord Jesus Christ. The Christ who says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice, hears them and then begins to live according to them, is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall. It did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. Friend, you can withstand the coming judgment of God. It's a warning. Jesus gives us a warning. And he gives us a warning so that we'll prepare for what is coming. So that we'll respond appropriately. You can withstand it so long as you've submitted to the Son of God, to the Lord Jesus Christ, so long as you are in Christ, the one who was already judged for you. The one who is the Son of God and the Savior of the world, who laid down his life as the pure and perfect, spotless, sinless Lamb of God, the substitute in your place and in mine, so that we could be forgiven of our sins and reconciled to God, and so that God could remain just and the one who justifies us. Put your faith in him. Put your faith in Jesus Christ. Friend, respond to Christ. Respond to Christ. That's the call of Christ. That's the reason that he warns us. That's the reason that he begins to drive home this warning, this repetitive call. To turn to him, to put our faith in him, to build our lives upon him. Respond to Jesus Christ. Submit to Christ. Trust in Christ. Rest in Christ. And be saved today. Peter, one of the disciples, once preached a sermon. The other disciples, we're alongside him. This is just weeks after Jesus has been resurrected from the dead. He's now ascended into heaven. This is the story of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit is poured out on those who know him. And Peter gets up and offers a message, a warning, saying, you Jews, you missed it. You killed Jesus. You killed the Son of God, the Messiah. You killed him. He came to give his life for you. You killed him. You failed to recognize who he is. And the Holy Spirit convicts them of their sin. Many of them convicted of their sin. Acts chapter 2, verse 37. They're convicted. And they respond. They say, what do we do? We realize we've been in the wrong. The Spirit's convicted us of our sin. Our eyes are open. We believe that Jesus is the Messiah. What do we do about this now? How do we fix it? This is what Peter says. He says, repent and be baptized. Turn away from your sin, put your faith in Jesus Christ. Repent and be baptized. Baptism there, a public profession of faith in Christ. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So friend, I don't know where you are, how you stand before God today. I don't know what your status is before God today. But the Spirit of God is calling hearers of the Word of God to respond to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so respond today with faith in Christ. Look to Christ. Trust in Him. Put your faith in Him. Turn away from sin and cling to the provision of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, help us to do so. God, help us to do so right now. Help every one of us gathered in this space this morning, young and old, boys and girls, men and women, help us to respond with repentance and faith right now. And so God, to the unbeliever that may be listening, God, convict them of their sin and draw them to you, that they might rest in your love. And God, to the believer, the one who knows that they're saved by your grace and right with you, Lord, likewise, help each of us to respond with repentance and faith right now. Clinging to the goodness of the gospel, for the glory of Jesus, in whose name that we pray. Amen.